You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
Oh, yes. There it is. There it is. There it is. Long Legs.
Hello, Hail Satan.
Yeah, Hail Satan. Bang a gong.
Sucktastic.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. We're going to review Long Legs today, and I'm Scott. That's Joey.
That's me.
That's How my short you? Introduction.
Yeah, good. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. We're hitting dipping into Halloween month with horror films, and I wanted to do something a bit current, so I challenged Joey to Long Legs, the recent blockbuster hit, a horror film.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When it comes time for me to challenge you, I'm going to go in a similar direction.
Interesting.
I'm going to go in a similar direction based on this film specifically. And when we get to it, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So this is a film that came out in July. I think towards third week of July, you know, something like that. Before Deadpool and Wolverine. Because it knew, obviously, if it came out the same weekend, it would be a problem. So I think it came out on the 22nd or the 21st, something like that. It actually did quite well at the box office. Domestically, here in the States, it made $74 million, which for a film that cost $10 million, that's would be considered a hit, big-time hit. Internationally, made $34 million. So it made a total gross of $108 million with a $10 million budget, and I read somewhere that they spent less than that on the print and advertising because they went in a more digital approach for it. They wanted to go more Blair Witch Project style, which is why I think a lot of people didn't like this movie because it was marketed wrong.
Is that the only reason?
Well, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, spoiler alert, I enjoyed this film.
All right, we'll talk.
All right. He admitted to me he was disappointed by it. I've had a couple other people that have seen this film tell me that they were disappointed by it, and it was to the point of where they didn't understand what was happening, and they had to find one of those ending explain videos. Now, I had no problem understanding this film at all. There was no mystery for me. I knew exactly what was happening. It's probably because I've seen this style of movie a bunch of times already. And, you know, they haven't. I had no issues following this film. I had no issues. I had no issues with the ending. A lot of people had issues with the ending. I really liked this film. And I started thinking about it. The lead actress in this was also in the film It Follows. And Scott had the exact same reaction to that movie where he didn't like it and I really liked it. We also reviewed that one. So the comparison, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't like this actress or her choice of films that she's in. I don't know. But, so the marketing aspect of it. Actually went a more, as they described it, a guerrilla marketing. Yeah.
Yes.
Blair Witch style. And I think a lot of people went into this really, really thinking it was a different movie. the scariest horror movie in 10 years or a decade. Scariest horror movie in a decade. This and this and this. And then the quick flashes with the trailer and, you know, the serial killer aspect, and you're gonna, you know, shit your pants. And no, you're not. It's a psychological thriller. That's all it is. Does it have creepy aspects? Sure. So I went into this completely blind. I went 100% blind into this. The only thing that I did see was that scariest movie in a decade thing. That's all I saw. I didn't watch any trailers. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm glad I didn't, because I went into this completely blind and knowing that, you know what? You can tell me it's as scary all you want. Movies don't scare me. You know, I'm not a little kid anymore, even though the only film that ever scared me when I was a little kid, oddly enough, was the film Silver Bullet. It's the only thing ever that I ever had a hard time sleeping one night for. So anyway, I think a lot of people went into this. It was way too overhyped. Neon, who produced the film, along with Nicolas Cage's production company Saturn Pictures, they actually went to the director Oz Perkins, who is Anthony Perkins' son, by the way. I don't know if people know that or not. He was approached by Neon to do the movie, and then when it came time to market it, Neon asked him, do you care if we kind of go nuts with this? We want to do a different approach, or a more kind of crazy approach to it. And Oz Perkins is like, yeah, what are we here for? Let's do it. Go for it. I'm all in. And I think with that came some overhyped and false advertising. And I think that's why critics probably walked away liking it. They've seen a lot of this before. And audiences walked away saying this wasn't scary, this is boring, I thought this was a different movie. I really think that is what happened here. A lot.
I'll say for myself that I wasn't bombarded. I saw some advertising, and I have to admit, I always fall for it. Whenever they have a commercial that says, everyone's saying this is the best horror film, the rational part of my brain knows that anybody can make that claim, and it's advertising. Mm-hmm. But then the curious part of my brain's like, yeah, but I mean, if everybody's saying it, take a look. So, I mean, I didn't go into this film expecting, you know, to be scared. I'm not 12, but I did go expecting a coherent film. And that's my rebuttal to you, sir.
Right.
My rebuttal.
A coherent film. Okay.
Now, I'll tell you, I feel like this is a wannabe A24 horror film. And I say that because the best thing about the film...
You said the same thing about It Follows, by the way.
same reasons. No, different reasons, actually. You'd knock me off my track. I was just...
You said it's a wannabe A24 film.
It's a wannabe A24, and by that I mean it looks beautiful. It's very well shot. It's a
gorgeous movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it, in order to remain true to that vision, I guess, they do fuck all with the plot and story. And that's the part I don't like. I don't like that it's trying to be Silence of the Lambs meets X-Files.
That is another argument I keep hearing about this film. You know, it's trying to be Silence of the Lambs. Watch that instead. It's a better movie. And you know what?
The filmmakers have said the same thing, that they were inspired by, that they wanted it to be like Silence of the Lambs. So,
well, one of the things that the director said, that it's also loosely based on the murder of, very loosely based on the murder of JonBenet Ramsey, because she was given a life-size doll, that a replica of herself, and where she was killed was 15 feet away from where the doll was in the basement.
No, including a dead child in your
That was in an interview.
Which is an advertisement, by the way.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But still, no. Yeah, linking the film to dead children. That's also a good idea. We could do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But obviously, he said very loosely based. You know, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying this is what he said.
What they should say is inspired by. That's what that means. I was inspired by this.
Well, yeah, he said
based
that
on any,
Yeah, he said the whole story of her getting this creepy doll and her dying in the same room as it was, he said it, like you just said, inspired, loosely based, whatever you want to call it. His exact words were it was loosely based. But it's an interesting, idea.
I really don't want to get off on a tangent, but do we know that she died in her bedroom?
Basement.
Do we?
They say that all the reports, all the evidence that they have points to the basement. So
and the doll was in the basement?
That's what they say.
Okay, then it was stored in a box or something?
Yes, it was in a box.
Yeah, so what the fuck does that mean? All right.
He just thought it was creepy that she was given a life-size replica of herself.
So it was inspired by that. That's what they should say. It was inspired by it. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
I tangent.
Over.
Too far. I took it too far, sorry.
It's okay.
But, all right, my you know I have an aversion to the witchcraft movies.
Yes.
The witch covens with their, and this is an extension of that. This is the Satan pulling the strings thing.
Right.
Where the excuse the filmmakers give to every plot hole and inconsistency is that when these characters do stuff that makes no sense whatsoever, or the situations are just ridiculous, or there's no reason for anything to happen, what they say is, oh, this is all manipulated by the devil. He wanted this all to happen just the way it's happening.
Which, by the way, you know, I just want to interject that I actually appreciated that I didn't have to watch some stupid fucking ritual with this brain ball thing. You know, it's like, I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care. Just get the brain ball in the doll and let it do its bidding. I don't fucking care how it works. Right. I know a lot of people have a problem with it. Mm. I don't. I just don't
get me started on the fucking dolls.
Don't bore me on the ritual that has to happen to make this thing work. I don't care.
That's a bit too deep for me. I don't need to see the main character take a dump either. You know, not everything has to be shown.
Exactly.
We're talking about narrative here.
Yes.
So like, and they use that opening scene where she's
in her bedroom and she looks out the window and she sees the station wagon.
No. All right. I apologize. I jumped ahead. Yeah. Now that whole opening sequence, I thought was good. You had me up until the opening title. I was like, all right, I know what they're doing, but let's see where it goes. I was hopeful at that point.
Yeah. There was no guessing. I knew she was the little girl in the opening of the film. I knew immediately.
Yeah. That anybody confused about that is your this is not the film for you.
Yeah,
I
knew immediately that was her, and even Mare. I watched it with Mare, who also enjoyed the film very much. She's like, yeah, that's the little girl. I go, of course, duh.
Tell Mare that's one mark against her.
Oh please, I can reverse that and say it's a mark against you for not enjoying the film.
Well, I have rationales. I haven't even gotten into them, Dad.
Okay.
All right, we're only on the first scene. So,
we would like to keep this episode under an hour. We're already at 14 minutes. So right, sorry. I literally went on like a 4-minute tangent. I'm sorry. Well, really. I went into just kind of the marketing and everything that involved it, because Scott and I had a small conversation about, you know, talking about it. So I kind of went into it.
You're good. You're good. Now, after that is where it gets sketchy, because first of all, we immediately see her as an adult and she's a private detective. So immediately I'm like, all right. So now you're telling me, and you already know what's happening, is that you're telling me that whatever Longlegs is, she's connected to it. Now she's a cop, and I guess she's going to be tracking them down. I already know the movie. It's not a mystery when they do that.
No.
But then when they do the next scene, and this is why I watch those YouTube videos, all right. Is the explanations they give. So they have that opening. They have that next scene where she's on. She's with one of her FBI co-agents, and they're investigating something.
Oh yeah, they send them out. And initially, for a nanosecond, you think it's Longlegs, but then you realize that they're just sending them out to try and find a serial killer. And her and her partner. They all break up and go into different parts of the town to try and find this person. And her partner go to one little section of the town where they're going to go knock on doors and, you know, have you seen this person? Do you know who this is?
Right. So they go, they They go to the. She wants to go to one house first because she's got a feeling about it. Because apparently she's psychic.
It's not even a feel. And, she's clairvoyant. It's not even a feeling. She's like, well, he's in this house.
There's a bit more to it, I think. And I don't want to go into it. Oh my God, I hate this film.
Wow. But it's a strong word. We're gonna have a hard time rating this at the end.
So long story short, her partner goes to the door. He gets shot in the head. But then when she walks in, the guy she finds him upstairs in this house that nobody's living in except for him,
right?
And holding his hands up and surrendering to her. And so this comes up when you talk, and I don't know how much of this comes from the filmmakers, but a lot of this bullshit comes from the filmmakers, and this is one of the reasons it pisses me off. If there's something that's supposed to be in the film, put it in the film. Don't wait to tell it in interviews. You know, it's you're cheating.
Okay. People. So what are you getting at?
So they're saying is that he's there on purpose, manipulated by Satan. So this happens. So she gets recruited. So she has into the long legs department. So she tracks down long legs.
This is the filmmakers came out and said that.
The whole point of this film, they say, is that everything that happens because Satan wanted it to. Therefore, this guy's there before that. There's no other reason for this guy to be in an empty house, sitting there just surrendering to her. So why would this guy even surrender? You don't go into that at all. And the explanation given is that Satan told him to.
Okay, I didn't hear or read any of that. I'm just enjoying the film. Watching it play out. That she has some sort of.
I didn't feel like this when I was watching the film. Obviously, this is all after the fact. So, okay. And again, I was still kind of enjoying, but at this point, still, I feel like I'm being pushed in one direction too quick. Because right after that, they have that bullshit test she takes that makes no sense whatsoever. It's designed specifically not to make any sense. And then she's recruited in because of that. She's inexplicably recruited into this group of other investigators, none of whom are psychic, apparently. So where did this test come from in the first place, and what is this special group what's the whole point of that?
Takes place in the 90s, and they didn't even have to slap a year on it because Bill Clinton is on his face is on the back wall of the FBI office. I was like, oh, obviously it's anywhere between 1992 and 2000.
I hope I'm not confusing this, but with something else. But I'm pretty sure I saw in one of the YouTube videos I watched that the directors said the year that it takes place in was originally different. But when they realized that they'd have to have George Bush's face in all these shots, they changed it so it could be Clinton instead.
That's funny.
So I'll give them credit for that.
I mean, it could take place in 2000 because Clinton was president until December 31st. Well, I mean, Bush went into office January of 2001. But yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. That is interesting. Obviously, again, Hollywood.
Really hope I'm not conflating that with another film, but I can't think of another film I've seen with Bill Clinton's picture in it. So I'm pretty sure it's this one. By the time we get to the end of the film, I don't want to jump ahead like that. They drag her into the long legs investigation. Does the test didn't bother you? The weird test they give her, and then like, okay, here's a bunch of normal people we're going to put you with, none of whom like you.
I thought it was kind of weird, but you know, I went with it.
Okay.
There's no venom coming out of me when I see the scene. Like, what the fuck is this? What are they doing? Oh, come on. This makes no sense.
This is all condensed. None of these scenes are injuring me this bad. This is just a condensed. And again, I'll get to the main thing that bugs me when we get there. But when she gets on the investigation, and then we learn all about the long legs murders and that they're all happening on the birthdays of children in the house. And in all the situations, the husband goes crazy and kills everybody and then kills himself. They can't find any evidence that anybody else has ever been there or touched anything. There's no evidence that anybody else has been involved in these murders. Yet they're so similar that it has to be something outside.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I summed it up pretty fairly. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I got no problem with that.
No,
I got no problem with that part.
No.
Yeah. So it's a weird mystery they got to solve, and she's involved in it. So she, you know, they have the whole pin board up. It's like Wes Anderson filmed Seven. You know, she has the cards all out, and then, you know, and then we get all the cast of characters in a you know, cutaway side scene.
It's funny you should say Wes Anderson, because even the filters in a lot of scenes are very orangey and brown, very much Wes Anderson like. I mean, yeah, obviously that's not what they're going for, but it's funny you mention it, because the filters do look similar.
Did you notice the
silhouettes? You know, the horns of Satan throughout the film.
Yeah,
I mean, that didn't kind of. I mean, I thought that was kind of neat that it was just always kind of there, specifically when she. I mean, here's the thing too. I was looking for it. I was like, if they don't do something like this, that would actually disappoint me, because they're talking about Satan always being around, always being a problem, always doing this, the guy downstairs. And I'm like, she's hearing things. And I'm like, obviously, there's going to be something in the background moving, or shadows or something. And I honestly, if they didn't do it, I would have been disappointed. So I'm happy that they did, because I actually thought it was kind of neat.
I still have PTSD from Blair Witch Book of Shadows.
Let's not. I get what you're going for, but stop.
I'm just saying that's me. It just triggered me. I saw the first one right away.
Just because they got you to watch that one three times.
Just the first one where she's sitting there and it comes up on the left hand, which I think is the easiest one to spot out of all of them.
It is.
Because it's the... And the first I saw, the minute I saw that first one, I was like, "Oh, we're doing this shit." That was just my immediate reaction. So it did not win over.
It's interesting. I mean, most of the time.
Also,
go ahead.
It also, I'm sorry, I was going to say it also backs the film's inference or the film saying that Satan's manipulating all of this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another. That's the symbolic way they're doing it too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut over you.
No. I was going to say it's very rare that Scott and I disagree on a movie. This is one of those times. So if you're listening, enjoy this, because it doesn't happen very often. Usually, at this point, we're talking about anything else you got to say, or you know, like that cool scene. It's the back and forth that you're getting right now doesn't happen very often, because Scott and I usually agree on just about everything.
And you know what? I get what you're saying about unplugging and just enjoying a film. You know, I totally understand that. You're not supposed to have to read into a film. But this is a film that demands that you read into it. That's what I hate.
Well, no. And I did, but I was okay.
I like films that do that, but this one, for some reason, I didn't like.
Yeah, no. And I did, and I enjoyed having to do it, even though there was no... No scenes where I'm like, oh boy, I wasn't expecting that. There was none of that for me with this. I knew where it was going.
There was a couple,
but there was really nothing where I'm watching this film going, damn, I never saw that coming. You know,
there was a couple of things,
but nothing crazy.
The film knows about telegraphing because it does it on purpose to irk you, and that's when I first got pissed. There's a lot wrong with the scene when the first scene with her back at her cabin. First of all, the talk with her mother, because like, okay, mom's a lunatic,
right?
And then, but then, so she's an FBI.
FBI.
She's an FBI agent. She's on a murder investigation of a serial killer of a mass murders, and she sees a strange figure outside. She doesn't call anybody. She just runs out. And then she sees somebody inside, doesn't call anybody. She just, you know, goes back in. And then they leave evidence for her, and it's like, I'll just keep this to myself. So what the fuck?
But again, there's a reason for that, because she received the doll when she was a kid, and there was that cloud, and you actually see it visibly exit her later in the movie.
I can't talk about that right now. Save that.
Okay, we'll save it.
Save that nugget. So, but what bothered me in this scene beyond all of that is during the long sequences when she's sitting there talking on the phone, they purposely framed the back door.
I know.
Right there.
I know.
Purposely.
Of course.
Purposely. And then didn't do anything with it.
I did notice that too. I was like, all right, we're not going to do anything with that. Okay.
That's when I realized they were fucking with me.
Well, I kind of figured, and I was okay with it. I'm like, all right, they're fucking with me because they're going to do something somewhere else. Mm. And that's what they're doing. And I was okay with it.
That made it personal.
Personal. Would you stop?
But that's where I started to not like the film. That scene right there.
I mean, just Nicolas Cage alone. At one point, I leaned the mirror and I'm like, man, this is just Nicolas Cage being allowed to be Nicolas Cage. Crazy Nicolas Cage under a ton of makeup. And I'm like, I dig it.
Let's talk about Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Let's do that.
I agree. Nicolas Cage was awesome.
Yes.
All right. Here's the problem I have with this, with what the filmmakers did. Is so, did you read anything about his backstory as a character?
You mean Nicolas Cage's character?
Yeah, Long Legs.
No, I read nothing.
Okay.
I know about the marketing. I know about some influences, comparisons to other films, and that's really it.
Based on what, this is great because I want to find out if I'm just being overreacting on this, okay, or if based on your, and obviously you like the film, so you know, based on the film, based on what you saw of that character, what is that character's backstory?
I mean, there really isn't a backstory for them. They just kind of
any hints from Nicolas Cage there as you're watching him that would inform you as into the deep backstory of this character?
I mean, there's been comparisons to Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. I don't think I know where you're going.
You're not, because you didn't watch any interviews or any YouTube videos about it. And that's not a criticism.
There's only one thing that I read.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that I read. It was a quick one-sentence blurb that Nicolas Cage took inspiration from his own mother for the part. And when the director wrote the film, he said that he took inspiration from his mother for the part. But this is for the Ruth character, not the Long Legs character. It was interacted with Ruth.
I saw that part of Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is a deep method actor, and I've always loved everything he puts into his roles. And if he was connecting to the problems his mother had with schizophrenia, and having dealt with a loved one with that kind of illness, I can imagine tapping into that to try to understand a character that's supposed to be portraying that same illness.
Right.
I think that's great on him. I think it shows in his performance. Yeah. Here's where I get annoyed.
But other than that, I don't know anything.
There's a whole backstory to that character that's not told, but once you hear it, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. And I'm annoyed. It's like, why the fuck don't you put it in the film? Why do we have to find out through interviews and YouTube videos? Why is this not somewhere in the movie? His backstory is he's a Satanist, obviously.
Right. Yeah, which he's allowed to do because we're in America.
But he was also He was also a glam rocker.
See, here's the thing. There is a poster of him wearing like a Slashes style top hat when he's in the room downstairs. And that's immediately, I'm like, wow, is that's supposed to be him? He looks like Slash from Guns N' Roses. And I'm wondering, in my head, it's funny you bring it up because I'm like, I wonder if that is a thing.
Wouldn't it be great if there was something else besides that little poster there that, you know, that a lot of people are going to miss?
And obviously that's why his face is all, you know,
his face is all messed up because he kept getting cheap plastic surgery because he wanted to be beautiful for Satan.
Okay.
It makes me want to know more about the character, doesn't it?
It sure does. And you know what? I will say this. I am disappointed that that is not more in the film. Now, the movie is only an hour and 40 minutes long, so they kept it tight.
Yeah, they could have added 5 more minutes.
They could have.
With some, some reasonable. Oh, and I'm going to reference another film for you, and you, I hope you like this one, January Man.
January Man. Oh, what's the, wait, Kevin Kline?
Yeah. Remember the
I remember
the, the obscure patterns and stuff.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is like, oh, look, here's the serial killer's pattern. If you make a chart the exact way I did with the days of the month and mark all the days that the murders happened and then ignore half of the chart, you take a bunch of like seven of those dots and you can kind of make a triangle, which means Satan. The fuck is that?
Listen, that's not the first time they've done that. What was the one fucking movie where the killer was killing in a pentagram? What the fuck movie that was that?
Split Second. Yeah, bad movies.
It's. I mean, listen. Maybe I'm numb to it, but I was like, all right, whatever. It's fine.
No, that's where the film lost me. Oh, that's where I no, honestly.
Listen, you absolutely can. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah. Well, again, you're just enjoying the film on an aesthetic plane.
I did.
And I'm 100% with that. I need more for the story, especially when you start giving me like weird details, like at the end. All right. So that you find out after investigation and some more murders that her mother is actually conspiring with Longlegs to kill all these people.
Right.
I'm not going.
But there's a reason why, though, and we could explain it for a minute.
Hold on. Before we explain that nonsense.
All right.
Actually, no. Go ahead and explain that nonsense.
All right. So in the beginning of the film, when you see Lee visited by Longlegs, you see him interact with her, and then it flashes forward, you know, whatever, 20 years. But in revisiting all of those scenes, you come to find out that because her birthday was on the 14th and all of these murders happened 6 days before or after the date of that, you know, because of this pattern, she was supposed to be murdered along with she was supposed to be murdered because Satan wanted her to be his, you know, child plaything, whatever you want to call it. And the mother made a deal with Longlegs that if she's allowed to live, and the line later on in the movie, allowed to grow up and be a little girl, she would do Longlegs / Satan's bidding for as long as it needed to be for her daughter. And that is how the mother conspires with Longlegs to do all of this, which, by the way, he's the man in the basement. You know, he's living in her basement for 20 years.
And you don't have a problem with that?
No.
No, because of the black smoke, right?
No, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it because the mother conspired to do his bidding. So,
all right. The only way you can you live in a house and there's a stranger living in your basement for 20 years and you never noticed. The only way to explain that is your black smoke thing.
Well, yeah, that is it. The doll with the brain ball. The doll with the brain ball clouds her judgment and her memories of all of it.
Explain this to me.
I'm not a Satanist, I can't.
No. Damn it, you win. Fuck.
I don't know how of that works.
So, he kills by the mother, and this is because of that deal made beforehand. This crazy guy would just walk up and give people dolls.
Right. So
yeah.
Because of how he looks,
he wasn't that successful. Yeah.
Well, he was successful, for a small time. They kind of make note of that, but. Obviously, the mom dressed up as a nun going
to... Pick things up.
Yeah, it's like she was obviously trusted quite a bit. Hey, you've won a prize from the church. Here's for your daughter. And then the brain ball thing clouds the child, the mom, and the father. And then the father does Satan's bidding.
Okay.
Kills them all.
So, all right. All I want to say is... If that's what they do and they have to be in close proximity, then what's the fuck with her doll, and why does it look just like her, and what is that?
All the dolls, look like the children that receive them.
Identical in the same clothing.
Yes.
That's right, they are. Fuck that. No, it's just but why is the acting differently? That's the part. It's not the look-alike.
Why is what acting different?
The dolls only work if they're in close proximity. That's why the crazy nun has to deliver them.
No, the doll has to enter the house so that it clouds the father. Right. Father's
that's close proximity.
Yeah, but once the family is murdered, I mean, right. the doll has done its bidding.
So how is this one controlling our main character? God knows where.
Because she was allowed to live. She was never killed.
How does that doll work differently?
Dude,
pissed me off about the smoke. You know what pissed me off about the smoke? This is why I shouldn't watch these YouTube videos.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that was everyone could see that smoke. I think that's a little suspension of disbelief. That was, I think, a visual representation of what happened when the doll was destroyed.
If you're showing me a visual representation, it's what's happening, especially because she looks at it.
No, she doesn't. It's behind her.
No, the doll smoke comes out of the doll. She looks at that, the doll smoke coming out of it.
I'm talking about the smoke that came out of her.
I'm talking about both.
The doll smoke because it got shot with a fucking shotgun.
No, black smoke came out of this.
Yes, I get that.
You see it.
I get
and
that.
You see it.
I get that.
It's not an invisible representation of something. You see it. She saw it. It's visible.
I mean, and listen, it could be a visual representation for both her and the doll. I don't know. I'm not the director. I'm just going by what I saw, and I didn't mind it.
No, but you can't. This is what I don't like, though, is that I saw the one guy said, "Well, no, you don't. It's not actually visible." It's a representation. You use the exact same words, and that's what irritates me. Is that because he said it's
I'm sorry, it's a, I use the same words. I haven't read anything. It's a
representation of what's there, but you can't see it. It's like, no, you don't just show me something and say.
Was that what was said?
That's what somebody's. I don't know.
Are you sure that's not just what I just said?
No.
Okay.
Dude, my memory's not that shot.
I didn't say it was.
Okay. Just saying it's one of the things that's been bothering me because I watch these YouTubes and I don't know why would you even have to go out of the way to say, oh, you don't see the smoke? Yeah, you see the smoke. It's like, yeah, I saw the smoke. He saw the smoke. She saw it. They saw it. Because they're trying to explain why the FBI wouldn't see the smoke. You know what? Maybe they didn't see the smoke. Who gives a fuck?
They might not have seen the smoke.
If that's the thing that doesn't make sense for you, then how does you not seeing the smoke that you can see make more sense? Just say the film fucked up, because there's a lot of fuck ups like that. Here's a question for you: do they reuse the dolls?
What do you mean? Do they reuse them?
I mean, each doll is made to look just like
it's custom made for each child.
Right. Great. What are they doing with the dolls?
What are the children doing with the dolls?
No, the nun takes the dolls back when they're done, so there's no evidence that anybody was there. What is she doing with the dolls? Where are the dolls?
They're probably in that fucked up looking basement.
Where are all those black dolls? That all those balls are back in the basement?
Probably. Hail Satan, man.
That's a lot of dolls. Where's
Mom? There's a lot of dolls.
I'm looking at the it's
for all I know, they're destroying the dolls. Every doll gets destroyed after the family is destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This guy has a car in the barn, and she didn't know he was living there 20 years.
Because of the doll, yes.
Right, and that's, again...
It's explained why that happens.
It all comes back to that Satan did it. This is all because Satan said so stuff, and I think it's flimsy. Like a lot of spiritual, like a lot of supernatural bullshit, it's just flimsy. I don't like, there's no logic to it. It makes sense until they don't want it to make sense, and then it's, well, that's because of this. And I don't like it.
Apparently.
That's all. I don't like it. By the way, I hate the main lead character.
The girl, Lee?
The girl. Yeah, hate her.
Yeah, you hated her in It Follows, too.
No, but different character. I hate the. I don't hate the actress though. I don't hate the actress. I have nothing against the actress. It's the character. I hate the character they made her portray. She's this like extreme introvert that can't even make eye contact with anybody. But somehow she's made it, you know, blazingly in the FBI because they're known for that. And she acts like this all throughout the film. And yeah, it's because of the black smoke. That's great. But then she just like does the dumbest things. So once the black smoke's gone, can we say she's not dumb anymore? Once the black smoke's gone,
I wouldn't say dumb. I would say she's seeing clearly.
Okay, there you go. Then let's go. She knows that the dolls are killing people. She knows that her mother is taking the dolls to kill people. She knows that she knows about the birthday party for her boss's daughter. She finds.
Well, she was invited earlier in the film. She was actually right, the phone call.
Right. She makes the connection in her head in the phone call.
Well,
so she hops in the car.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, she got a phone call earlier saying that she was late for the party, and then she realized that the final dates for the triangle, you know, match up for the birthday party. So,
the triangle,
the death triangle.
Right. So she hops in the car. She hops in Long Legs' car and races there, and she gets to there. And then she's brought into the house, and there's her mother, and there's the doll. And she knows what happens. So what does she do? She sits there and watches everything go down. It waits until she knows that he's going to take... By the way, I think in a film this serious, you shouldn't play for humor at this point, because that guy was fucking hilarious threatening to kill his wife.
She's like, "So you got to cut the cakes, because I know I got to cut the cakes. What am I going to do? I guess I'm going to get a knife to cut those cakes."
I'm going to cut something.
She goes, "Oh, I'm going to go in the kitchen." He goes, "Yeah, you are, and that's where you're going to stay. I'm going to come back. You ain't."
Fucking hilarious. Uncalled for in this film.
I did enjoy the interaction, the back and forth, and I'm like, I don't know if they're playing this for kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I know it's supposed to be serious, but it just...
If the film had been a bit more level with that,
yeah.
It doesn't fit the rest of the film. But it was beautiful, and I loved it. It was one part of the film I really liked. But what I hate is the fact that she knows what's happening. She watches him go back, waits for him to kill his wife, and then shoots him.
Right. You know,
and then waits for her mother to actually pull out a fucking satanic fucking dagger from Indiana Jones with a fucking curvy scimitar, whatever, and then shoots her. You know, waits until most of the family's dead.
Right.
Wait until the kid's an orphan, then I'll kill my mother. Should have killed your mother. Should have shot the doll first. And then she doesn't even shoot the doll at the end.
Well, here's the thing. That gun absolutely should have more bullets in it. So one of the theories is that the gun is not discharging on purpose. Like, Satan is not allowing the gun to discharge at the doll. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just something that I read.
These are the apologists.
I do agree. While I didn't mind the ending as much as a lot of people did, I do agree. I'm watching this going, why aren't you just like shooting him in the leg or something, you know, to contain him or shoot the doll. Yeah, sure.
Oh no. Cause Satan's telling your tale. You know, fuck Satan.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
No, apparently not. Apparently he's a mastermind that can do, and all of this, and the reviews I've seen, the people that liked it, said all of this was done just to make her kill her mother.
I haven't read anything like that, so.
You said you haven't read anything, so. Watch a couple of those YouTube. I watched a couple of YouTube videos of people that liked the film first to see if I was missing anything. That's where I got a lot of this information.
Well, I did. Been in the film. I did go and take a look at, there was one video that I did watch where somebody said it was boring, and I was like, oh, that kind of interests me, because I wasn't bored for the film, and he just kind of, he started rambling on, and I'm like, okay, you're bored, but there's a reason why you're bored, and it just, this isn't your kind of movie to begin with, so... whatever. That's the only thing. I watched a minute into that video, and I said, I'm not going to finish this. Because he's giving me all the wrong reasons why he's bored. It's like, this is not a boring film. Is it a slow burn? Sure, it's a bit of a slow burn, but it's not boring at all.
No, I'm not going to say it was boring. The film had me in the early part, you know, more or less, and Nicolas Cage definitely had me. I wish they'd done more with him. I would have rather just, like, followed his character around the country killing people. I don't know.
Oh, my God, what's happening in my house? Every camera is going off. Jesus. Sorry.
Have an earthquake?
No. I think somebody said you could maybe see the Northern Lights. Here in New Jersey, and like everyone's going out every door in my house, and every camera is letting me know.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Get out of the house.
There's too much light pollution to see jack shit. Anyway,
that sums up my take on the film for the most part. I feel like it's I know what they wanted to do. I know what they did. And I didn't like it. I think they did what they wanted to do, obviously. I just didn't enjoy it. And again, that whole Satan's pulling the strings, so everything happened because of that. It's too easy. It's too easy of a deus ex whatever.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the film, even with its flaws. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it a lot, actually. I was very forgiving of anything that I might have felt was flawed. You know, it's nothing really new, nothing I've really never seen before, but I still thought it was done well enough to enjoy it.
I like a film that demands me to like think about stuff, but I don't like a film that purposely withholds information. If anybody tells you they saw this blind without reading or hearing about the film and walked out and told you, oh, well, obviously he's a glam rock Satanist who had surgery done so he could look good for Satan, that person's a fucking liar.
I mean,
it's just...
The only thing I could go for is that to me...
And it's good, too.
Yeah, to me, it looked like he had lots of plastic surgery. There was nothing telling me that that was a normal, like, birth, you know, kind of person. And then, of course, I did notice the glam rock poster or what looked like Slash from Guns N' Roses. I'm like... Clearly, it's not Slash from Guns N' Roses. I said, that's him. I said, obviously, there's a story there that's not being told. That is it, but nothing else. I didn't know anything about the glam rock thing. I knew nothing for sure about the plastic surgery. It was just all, kind of guessing.
I'll say it's a well-shot. Oh, wow.
You really can't? Someone just posted, you really can't see the Northern Lights. Holy shit. And I'm missing it for the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You got TV.
No, it's out my window. I should go look. I'm never getting to Alaska to see this shit. It's right here in New Jersey right now. You want me to wrap? Okay.
Yeah, let's rate it real quick.
All right. So, listen, I'm going 7 with this, and I know you're not going anywhere near a 7.
I think 6 is, it makes more than enough sense for me. If you're willing to go that way.
I mean, I don't like a 6. I really don't. But,
I honestly don't think it deserves a 7. I mean, I think there's too...
I think it's
too flawed.
I think it's well made enough that it could get a 7. But you know what? We can go with a 6. I'm okay with a 6.
I appreciate your flexibility. Go see the Northern Lights, sir.
Okay. 6 it is.
And everybody, just Google Movie Sucktastic. You'll find us.
All right. Your challenge... For next week.
Oh, yes, quickly.
Okay, so the challenge, because of this film, it's been compared to Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill and all that. The last film that was kind of like this, that says, you know, scary movie, really well done, art house, all that stuff. Your challenge is Hereditary.
Oh, fine.
From 2018. Awesome. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. I actually haven't read anything. I'm blind to that movie, too.
After the disagreements we've had on this film, I'm dying to hear what you think about that one.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead.
Go see the Northern Lights. Well, MovieSucktastic.com.
We're going to end this real quick. Everybody go to MovieSucktastic.com. Download the show there. Listen to the show there. Watch the YouTube video. Go to iTunes, do the same thing, leave us email, themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com, leave us voicemail at 908-514-4470. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Hail Satan.
Blow me a kiss, baby. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review Hereditary. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.